Message 6 of the Bangkok Conference, October 2015. Verses are John chapter 6, verse 31 through 35, verse 48 through 51, verse 53 through 58, and chapter 12, verse 24. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, verse 11 and verse 13. May the Lord give us more revelation tonight through His Holy Spirit. Because the offerings are all very important. Besides, you need to know that this is what God wants. We have already mentioned this last year. There are feasts in the Bible, and there are also the offerings. Now the feasts, what God has prepared for us in Jesus Christ for us to enjoy. That is why when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He truly fulfilled the significance of all of these feasts very completely. Tomorrow we will be sharing concerning this point. Now, how about the offerings? It's for us to experience this Christ and to prepare these offerings. For us to offer up to the Father for His enjoyment. So there is something that comes down from above for us to enjoy. And on our part, we must also offer up the offerings to the Father for His enjoyment. It's not a one-sided traffic only, that everything comes down from above. So there also must be the offerings that are offered up from us to the Father. We do not have such a concept. We just want the Father to come bless us. And on our side, we rarely have offerings to offer up to the Father. It doesn't work this way. That's why the Bible shows us we're here in the temple, God's temple, to worship Him. We must prepare the offerings for Him. The Bible tells us clearly that we cannot come empty-handed. You can go read Exodus for yourself. There are Bible verses here. There are three different verses where God commanded His people to come to Jerusalem to worship Him, and that they cannot come empty-handed. You have to bring the offerings. Because God said, the offerings are mine. Besides, they are my food. This is very important. We do not have such a concept that God needs us to prepare the offerings as food for Him. I think the brothers and sisters who are here, we seldom have such a concept. That is why when you come to the meeting, you come empty-handed. You come empty, without preparation. Each one of us did not prepare an offering to bring with us. So it is very important for us to understand the meaning, the significance of all these offerings. The first aspect, why does the Father want us to prepare these offerings? Because all these offerings, God knows, they can help us. They can help us to mature. And it can also help us to become people who can fulfill God's will. If we prepare these offerings, then we can cooperate with the Father to accomplish His eternal purpose. Oftentimes we talk about experiencing Christ, but that's too general. We don't know what to experience. So many times our experience is that God would come help us. God would come bless us. Oh, we're weak. And the Lord came to help us. And He kept us. If we're sick, He comes to heal us. When you need Him, He comes to help you. It's all for us. Very rarely do we live for Him. Because we don't quite understand these offerings. To the extent that we have such a concept that, oh, we don't need these. Oh, these are all Old Testament things. It has nothing to do with us. How come it has nothing to do with us? If you were to go ask Moses, Moses, what are you talking about? He would tell you, don't you know? I am referring to Jesus Christ. So it is very important for us to understand these offerings. This morning we briefly mentioned the burnt offering. The burnt offering speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. His entire human living was fully for the Father's will. To the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ said, what is my food? My food is to do the will of the Father and to accomplish His work. Not only to do it, but to fully accomplish it. This is His food. Is this also your food? What can satisfy your heart? Do not think that you live just as you do now and you do a little bit as a Christian and that can satisfy you already. No, our Lord Jesus is not like that. He did all things fully for the Father. Fully what the Father wanted Him to do. It was fully arranged by the Father for him. He did not have his own opinions. He said, the words that I speak is what the Father wants to speak. We say a lot. It's all because our tongues are itching, and we say a lot of things that should not be spoken. And what should be spoken, we don't dare to say it, being afraid to offend others. That's why we don't dare to say it. What we should not say, we speak a lot. We are not like the Lord Jesus. All the work that the Lord Jesus did, he firstly looked at what the Father did. After he watched the Father, then he went ahead to do it. Besides, whatever he did was what the Father did in him. Where can you find such a person in this world? Have you found one? China is so big, and there's so many people. Go try to find one. Let's not mention about China. There's so many people in this meeting hall. It's easy to find because there's so few. Can you find someone? You cannot find anyone. No one lives like him. He said, the Son can do nothing in himself. How about you? How about me? Whatever we do it by ourselves. Through ourselves, we are very capable. Oh, let me do it. Whatever there's to be done, oh, I'll do it. Don't bother me. I'll do it. Oh, Lord Jesus, why don't you go sit on the throne? Let me do it. We're all like this. But Jesus is not. Although he's very capable, don't think that the Lord Jesus is not capable. But he did not want to use his own method, his own ability to do anything. Please don't take any pictures. Thank you. The Lord Jesus is not like that. He is not like that. But with us, whatever we do, we don't ask him, and we do it by ourselves, and after we're done with it, what's the end result? Was it good? Is there any good result? Let's not talk about result. Even if it the result was good, does God want it? Does he accept it? Or would he reject it? That is why God could say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus also said, Father, I know that you always hear my prayer, because all that the Lord Jesus did was well pleasing to the Father. How about me? I often do things contrary to him. And I still want him to hear my prayer. And I blame him for not listening. Oh, Father, I prayed so many times. How come you do not hear me? I would even get angry. I won't believe you anymore. Prayer does not work. Next time, I won't pray. We're all like this. Is the Lord Jesus like this? The Lord Jesus is not like this. Whatever he did fully fulfilled God's word. And with me, I don't care what God says. Whatever I want to do, I just go ahead to do it. I don't ask of him whether he likes it or not, whether he wants it or not. That is why we, fallen man, do not think that, oh, we do a little work for God and we think we're so great. You should just wait until he comes and see what he says. We are presumptuous. The Lord Jesus, when he was 12 years old, he was there in the temple talking to those wise men concerning the Bible. He was 12 years old. What were you doing when you were 12? What was I doing when I was 12? At 12, I was playing marbles on the floor. Right? What were you doing at 12? Were you expounding the Bible? No one of us did this. But the Lord Jesus was in the temple. And he was speaking with the scholars concerning the Word of God. His mother was looking for him. A 12-year-old, she didn't know where he went. Would you think that, oh, he went to the meeting? Would you? You might think, oh, he went to watch a movie. He went, I don't know where he went. When his mother saw him, he said, how come you came here and you didn't tell us when we're looking all over for you? What did the Lord Jesus say? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Was it like this? What did he say? Do you not know that I came about my father's business? A 12-year-old. Can a 12-year-old say this? We are now 12, we're 21, or 41, 51, 71, perhaps some are even 81. Do we do the Father's business as our business? Do we? I don't think so. Since such is the case, don't you need to experience Christ as your burnt offering? Do not think that this is a small thing. God ordained that the priest had to place the wood on the altar in order. Besides the offerings, every piece, the head, the entrails, everything had to place in its order. What does this mean? It means that all the actions and living of the Lord Jesus was done according to the Father's arrangement. Even at the time of his birth, where he was to be born, it was not his decision. Where he was to grow up, that was not his decision either. How about us? Who decides? I decide. Whatever I want to do, I just go ahead and do it. You say to go do that, I say, sorry, I don't like it. I want to do this. You want to serve? That has nothing to do with me. That service, you go do it. But I like to do this, so I do this. Why should you do that? But I want to do this. And I have to do this. Why don't we change around? We are all for ourselves. If we like it, we go do it. If we don't like it, we don't do it. If your living is like this, do you not need Christ as a burnt offering? We fallen man, we are all like this. If even we people are all like this, it doesn't matter whether the believers or unbelievers. It doesn't matter which denomination you are in or whether you are in the local church. You're always doing what you want to do. How is the Father going to accomplish His will? It's been 2,000 years. He is not able to find a group of people that would do the Father's will. I thought that we here in the church were a bit better. Are we any better? I don't think so. We are not any better. Because we do not know to experience Christ as our burnt offering. Even in very small matters, He tells you not to do it. Would you listen? You still went ahead and do it. Don't go there. Oh, but I like it. Oh, in your heart you say, okay, I won't go. But your feet did not listen to you, so you just went ahead. Even when you drive, the Holy Spirit in you says to you, drive slower. But it doesn't work with you. You just go ahead and boom. Right? We're disobedient. We are disobedient. When we gossip, our lips are the most terrible. Have you heard the Lord Jesus speak one sentence of gossip? No. Have you heard the Lord Jesus scolding or yelling at people loosely? No. Our Lord Jesus His living, His life was fully one with the Father. There are many examples, many testimonies in all the Gospels. You see that the Lord Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father. The Lord Jesus would not do something halfway and quit. Oh, Father, it's too tough, too hard. I quit. It's not my fault. It's because they don't want to listen to me, so I quit. Would you do that? I often do that. Forget it. Forget it. I quit. I retire. Did the Lord Jesus retire? Do not think that when He's seated in the heavens, that He is retired. That He has nothing to do. You are wrong. That is why we need to know Christ as our burnt offering. Every day there are many opportunities for you to experience Christ. Many people say, oh, I can't hear Him. How come you can't hear Him? If you're watching television, the Lord tells you, stop it. How about come and pray a little? Then what are you going to do? Really so? Oh, but that movie is so nice to watch. Besides, it's a continuation from yesterday. Oh, Lord, half an hour. It's almost over. Half an hour. How about that? Is it really not good? Lord, why didn't you wait for half an hour? After half an hour, you can't find Him. Would He still wait for you? Not you wait for Him? Now, right at that moment, you actually have an opportunity to experience Christ as your burnt offering. Switch off and go pray. If you do this, and you have such a practice daily, the Lord tells you, do not react. Your wife may say something and you want to react. You have a feeling within. Do not say anything. Are you going to listen to that? It's not easy. It's not easy. If you don't say it, you don't feel comfortable. It's evident. She's wrong. Oh, but it's not simple. But don't look down on this matter. Because it is exactly in these small things that you have many opportunities to obey God, to experience Christ as your burnt offering. I live, yet I do not want to live myself. I want to live for the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit tells you to preach the gospel. Do you want to do it? You know Philip? The Holy Spirit told him to go into the wilderness to preach the gospel. If you were Philip, in the wilderness, there's nobody there. What gospel should I be preaching there? There's nobody there. It seems I'm dreaming. That can't be the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I would be like that. Because I had experienced this many times. The Holy Spirit told me to go. And I said, why should I go there? What for? Go. I say, this is just all in my head. I had many reasons. I had many reasons not to go. Plenty of them. In the end, I went. And I found out that I was wrong. I have to repent. It was good that the Lord spoke the third and the fourth time. If the Father did not have mercy on me and just spoke to me a couple of times, and I wouldn't have gone. In many things, it is not that God does not speak, but it's that I do not listen to Him. So if this is the case, how can God accomplish His will? There's no way. That is why we need to begin to learn Christ as a burnt offering in various aspects, in the small things. Of course, for the burnt offering, there are the big offerings, like the bull. If you cannot bring a bull, you may bring a sheep. If you cannot bring a sheep, then you can bring a goat. It's a bit cheaper. And if you cannot even bring a goat, you can bring a turtle dove. Now for the burnt offering, there's nothing smaller than a turtle dove. But you have to begin with the small things. Do not think, oh, this is too small, I won't bring it. The Father does not look at the size of your offering, but He wants you to learn. If you do not learn out of the small experiences, and you want to bring a big bull, the Father said in Leviticus chapter 1, if anyone wants to bring a bull, such a big offering, it has to be a free will offering, a voluntary offering. That means to say, our Father does not force you to bring a bull. Because He knows that not everyone can bring such a big offering like a bull. But the sheep, the goat, the turtle dove, you have to go prepare. Now it all depends on whether you're willing or not. Do not forget, you cannot come empty-handed. Now, what should we do? Tell me, what should we do? Should we bring or not bring anything? You have a choice. Do you have a choice? No. But it's unfortunate that towards the end, the Israelites did not bring anything. Besides, what they brought were the lame, the blind. God did not want those. What God wants is Christ, not you. It is the Christ that grows out of your experience. It is without blemish. You cannot just bring anything. Just bring along, pull along anyone. A half-dead turtle dove that cannot fly anymore. Besides, perhaps one wing is broken. If you bring such a thing, do not think that the Father would accept it. It doesn't matter whether it's a small one or a big one. Whatever you bring with you, it has to be this perfect Christ. You cannot be loose in just bringing anything with you. Oh, I don't have time. You quickly just... Oh, there's a half-dead bird on the floor. You just pick it up and bring it. That is why in the last book, in Malachi chapter 3, God said, "You have robbed me." And God's people say, "When have we robbed you?" You did not bring me my offerings. And whatever you brought to me were the imperfect ones. You kept the good ones for yourself and you offered me those things that were not so good. Isn't this robbing God? Then what would you say? You have nothing to say. So brothers and sisters, prepare well. Each day we need to pay attention. There are many circumstances. There are many opportunities. Opportunities are hard to come around, so you have to grasp the opportunity. So if you're willing, the Father will arrange many opportunities for you. But you have to be a person who is diligent to experience Him. When you rise up in the morning, you have to tell the Lord, Lord, today is a new opportunity for me to experience you. I want to experience you as my burnt offering. Amen. How about that? Would you like to learn this gradually? You cannot be quick with this. It's okay if you go slowly. As long as we learn and there's improvement, that's good enough. And then we bring our best experiences to offer up to Him. Now the second point is a meal offering. This meal offering speaks of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our humanity is fallen and corrupt. Do not think that you're very good. The Bible says there's no one who's righteous. Besides, all men have sinned. Who has no sin? We've got lots of sins. We people are full of a sinful nature within. Paul says, sin dwells in my flesh. Romans chapter 7 says, death is in me. We still think that we're quite good. Right? Are you a good person? One day a rich young man came and said, good master. Good master. What did the Lord say? Why do you say that I'm good? There's no one that's good. Tonight I'd like to ask you all, are you good? You look like you're quite a gentleman. Is he good? Right, Virasak? Look, he's such a good brother. Look at the brothers and sisters that are here. Don't they all look very good? There's no one righteous. Go read the book of Romans. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We would think, oh, a certain brother, he's quite good. Oh dear. When things happen, I was scared to death. Sometimes, I was shocked at myself to death. To realize that, oh, I am such a person. Not one is good. If you see this, then you can appreciate the perfect humanity of Christ. Otherwise, you won't appreciate Him. A person who thinks that he is very good does not need Him. He does not need the humanity of Christ. Tonight we don't have much time, but you need to know it in principle. Let's take a look at the outline. On page 3, the meal offering refers to the pure and perfect humanity of Jesus. This is in the fine flour of the meal offering. His humanity is like the fine flour, not so coarse. Just like me, I'm coarse, I'm rough. Aren't you a rough person? We Chinese like to call the foreigners call the foreigners names, but not knowing that, saying that they're so rough, but we do not know that we are just as coarse. We do not know that there's no one that is without sin. We all are deceitful. You think that Christians do not cheat? You're wrong. You think that the high priest would not lie? That he would not be hypocritical? The scribes, they are so familiar with the Bible. They should be quite good. The Pharisees, the elders, they can be jealous, and they can kill people, and they can be hypocritical. They can lie, and they can give false testimonies. Won't we? Won't you? Perhaps you don't have the opportunity yet. When the opportunity arises, and the temperature is just right, oh, that thing just rises up in you. And when nothing happens, you look quite like a gentleman, always smiling. But when the opportunity comes, the sinful nature erupts. And we look like a demon. That is why John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus called them a generation of vipers. Because the poison of that serpent got into me. The flesh is already corrupt. It's beyond help. That is why the Lord Jesus had to nail the old man to the cross. If you do not see that my old man is useless, totally worthless, in particular concerning the building of the heavenly Jerusalem, we are useless. Do you know why the church cannot be built up? Because it's all the wrong people who are building it. They're fleshly people that are building it. The old man is doing the building. It's all you and I who are doing the building. God does not want you, and He doesn't want me. That is why. What should we do? You have to know the humanity of Christ. To replace my fallen corrupt humanity. There's no other way. So if you say you don't need the meal offering, you're wrong and wrong again. God knows we all need it. Why is there the Feast of Unleavened Bread? It's a feast of the unleavened bread. It's for us to eat the unleavened bread. On one hand, we eat it, and on the other hand, we purge out. We eat the unleavened bread, and we also have to purge out the leaven. Do you do that? Yet you don't know it, and you don't want to eat of it, and you do not want to enjoy the humanity of Christ, then there's no way to build up. There's absolutely no way. Even though you might want it, you might want to do it, you still cannot make it. That is why Paul said in Romans chapter 7, what did he say? Oh, wretched man that I am. Wretched. He said, in Chinese, said, oh, I'm really suffering. But wretched. I might as well go jump off the cliff because I'm hopeless. Don't go jump off the roof somewhere. It's better to be crucified together with Christ. Paul said that I died, but you are still living. So after you died, who should live? Christ lives. We need to learn to eat Jesus Christ, the bread which came down from heaven. We need to eat of him. We have been saying it for many years that we have to eat the Lord. What do you eat? You have to eat his humanity. If you do not eat, there's no other way. If you do not come to experience the humanity of Christ, the first offering is the burnt offering. The second offering is the meal offering. The burnt offering is fully offered up to God. But for the meal offering, only one handful is offered up to God. And the rest of it is a food for the priests. Because this is what we need. If we don't eat the Lord, how are you going to live? Who is living? That is why we come back to take a look. I'm sorry, the time is almost up. Because the Lord Jesus is the pure and perfect fine flour. The humanity of the Lord Jesus is very fine. Our fallen humanity, our fallen mankind is rough, very coarse, very wild. Just like Esau. And we're also like Jacob, one who knows how to deceive people with full of tricks. And the other one is wild, where like both of them. With such humanity, there's no way for the Holy Spirit to be mingled with us. It just doesn't mingle. There's no way. Only the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can pour oil and frankincense with it. What is oil? The frankincense is a power of the resurrection, and the oil is a light. So the Lord Jesus said that I'm the life and the resurrection. With me, I'm full of leaven and I'm dead. This body is the body of death. It's not the body of sin, but it's the body of death. But the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is full of the Holy Spirit. It's living. Besides, it can swallow up the death. He is the resurrection. So there's a frankincense. No wonder Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Why can you not overcome your temper? It's not a matter of sin, but it's a question of death. You cannot control yourself. Because death is reigning there. But the Lord Jesus is not like that. His humanity, inwardly, is mingled with the Holy Spirit, the oil. When he was born, Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and that gave birth to the Lord Jesus. That is why the Bible says what's born of her was the Holy One. He's holy. Only he is holy. He has no sin in him. I am full of sin. But Jesus Christ is without leaven. Besides, this meal offering cannot have any honey. The honey from bees is very strange. We people are fallen. We're full of leaven. But you can see that oftentimes they're very sweet. I'll use my relationship and cause this brother to stick to me. Oh, he's my buddy. He cannot leave me. We're together morning and evening. I'm using honey to let this person cling to me. Tell me, is that good? It's not good. Because if I'm wrong, he can't see that. Because he's a good friend of mine. We've got this relationship between us. So even if he's wrong, oh, it's okay. If I'm wrong, it's okay too. The Lord Jesus is not like this. He said, no one can come to me except the Father draws him. He does not use his manipulation and his sweet talk to draw people to him. He does not use man's trickery to draw people. If you draw people like that, it will be corrupted. The building of the church is not with honey. It's not stuck together. It's not put together with honey. No. You have to fully rely on the Father. You don't need the honey. Thank the Lord. And on top of that, you need to add salt. Firstly, the salt is used for seasoning. The humanity of the Lord Jesus has a seasoning effect. It expresses the flavor of God. When you contact him, you would experience the flavor of the Father. Our humanity is not like this. It is not like this. When people come to see us, many times they do not touch the Lord. There's no fragrance of Christ flowing out. Paul never wanted to show his own power. Even when he was preaching the gospel, he was not using his own wisdom. And he was not using the man's ability. He was afraid of this. He does not use man's manipulation to gain people. Because he wants people's faith to be fully established in the power of God. He has no other way. That is why in 2 Corinthians, he said they had the sweet aroma of Christ. This is the seasoning salt. Besides, it will not corrupt. Our fallen humanity corrupts easily. If a little temptation comes along, I fall. If there are some benefits that I can get, then I fall. It's not that easy, not that simple. We need the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, he created a new man. He wants us to put off our old man and to put on the new man. We have to put off our old man every day and put on Christ every day, the new man. This new man is the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the time to fellowship more concerning this point. Actually, this point is just as important as the burnt offering. These two are the most important offerings. These are the offerings that we need. And this is also what God needs. if we don't bring these two offerings, and we don't bring the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering, then what do you bring with you? That is why each day, whether it be at home, at work, in the church life, there are many opportunities for us to experience Christ as our humanity, to replace me. Now, this experience needs to be in spirit. That is why in John chapter 6 it says, how do we eat? Everybody thinks we just take a bite. I said, no. The flesh is of no use, but it is the spirit that gives life. And the Lord told them, you will see the Son of Man ascend. Ascend. To do what? To pour down, pour out the Holy Spirit. So the humanity of the Lord Jesus today is mingled into the anointing oil, the anointing. So when you read the Lord's word, you need to enjoy the humanity of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. We'll go into details a little more tomorrow. Let's have some prayer.